Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Chris Loffrey. Lori Walsh is off today. There are many that both benefit and rely on Feeding South Dakota. Nearly 107,000 people are at risk of going hungry in South Dakota. Nearly 4,000 families come to food pantries in Sioux Falls and Rapid City each month in need of emergency food assistance. Matt Gaston is CEO of Feeding South Dakota, joins us now on the phone. Matt, thanks for being here. Welcome to In the Moment.
Well, thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Those numbers, Matt, will start are staggering to me.
But they're the reality. You know, I think that those numbers really drive the point home that, you know, hunger is amongst us. I always challenge people to ask themselves what they think the face of hunger looks like in South Dakota. And all too often, I think the true response is that it looks just like you and I. It's really no different. It's those, the couple you sit next to in church on Sunday, the kids you see playing in the playground, the neighbor that you see coming home from work. And so hunger is really a part of South Dakota.
We'll start with laying some groundwork, if you will, on what Feeding South Dakota is, as it may be old news to you and I. It's new for somebody hearing this for the first time. The mission is simple. It's to end hunger in South Dakota, correct?
That's it. It's as simple as it can be.
And then the vision is pretty clear. And let's talk about the values, you know, like human dignity, respect for all, collaboration, leadership with the nonprofit community. I'll let you kind of elaborate on what Feeding South Dakota really is all about.
Well, Chris, our value statement, I think, really does sum it up. You know, it's really about trying to make the process of providing food assistance to individuals and families in need as dignified a process as we can. I say it all the time. I think nobody wakes up in the morning excited about an opportunity to go to a food pantry or a soup kitchen or a shelter to get food assistance. This is a process that's a real challenge for many of our South Dakotans. And so anything that we can do in our process to add a little dignity into that is important work for us. We want people to know that we understand that families face challenges. Some of those are perpetual. Some of those are just situational crises that are going through that are causing it. But in all cases, these are individuals and families that are struggling, and we want them to know that we're here to help them and that we're not going to be judgmental. We're not here to question them. We're just here to provide them food so that they and their family can move on.
You know, that's a big thing you just said, judgmental. And I mean, none of us have the right to really judge anybody, but I think maybe some of it could be possible embarrassment that they have to do this. Do you witness that firsthand?
Certainly do, Chris. I think if anybody has an opportunity to go to a food pantry and just sit and observe, I think the one thing that you're going to notice is that vast majority of the time, it's a pretty quiet process. People have come in, you know, they're really quiet. Their heads are kind of down. They don't really want to engage in conversation. They just want to get through the process, get the food that they need for them and their families and move on. And I think that's just kind of indicative of the challenge that it is for those people. And that's where I really derive that statement about, you know, nobody jumps out of bed in the morning and saying, whoopee, I get to go to the food pantry today. You know, it's a challenge to have to know that that's where you have to go to get the food that you need to feed your family. And so it's a challenge for all of those that we're serving.
But rest assured, nothing is said. No judgments passed.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, human nature, Chris, probably allows it or has people, you know, naturally want to try to judge a person or a situation based on the way they're dressed, what they're driving, whether they have a smartphone in their hands or whatever the case might be. But, you know, we work really, really hard with ourselves and staff about, you know, not allowing those things to cause us to try to cast judgment because we really don't know. I mean, we don't know the situation behind the individual and what's going on in our lives. They could be driving virtually a new car, and we don't know that maybe they hadn't lost their job. And they're upside down. They can't trade it off because they owe more than they're going to get for it, and, mm-hmm. and so they're forced to keep it. You know, they could be wearing nice clothes because they did have a good job a month ago, and now they don't. You know, there's just so many variables. Or they're hit by you know, catastrophic medical bills, or whatever the scenario might be. I mean, it just, we really have to talk about that so that we know that we can't allow ourselves to judge people because it's just not fair and it's just not right. And it's almost a how dare you kind of a scenario when one wants to try to pass judgment without knowing the entire story behind an individual.
Mm-hmm. Take a moment and describe food insecurity here in South Dakota.
Well, you know, I think it somewhat runs a gamut, you know, from, you know, families who have virtually little or nothing, and, you know, food and securing food for them and their families is an everyday challenge. Whether they're going to a food pantry or soup kitchen or shelter, you know, that's always just a temporary fix. You know, they bring food home from a food pantry, and they are falling right back into the mindset of where am I going to get the next batch of food that I need to keep going. So it's an ongoing battle for folks every day. I think conversely, we have families that are working. You know, they're trying as they may to make ends meet. They're struggling, and they're having to make some really tough budget decisions about, you know, what do I spend our limited resources on? Is it, you know, is it utilities? Is it vehicle repairs? Is it, you know, clothes? Or is it food? And we know all too often that when you look at a budget, probably the easiest place to cut a budget is food. You know, I always say you can put two pieces of bread and call it a wish sandwich, you know, wishing that there was something in between them. You know, you can water down the soup and make it go a little farther. I mean, there's things that you can do, at least on the surface, it appears, to get by with a little less money being spent on food. But ultimately, that's going to catch up to individuals and families.
We've talked about these families, and I read a number earlier, and it floored me, quite frankly, that nearly half of these families that you serve don't qualify for federal assistance. Is that accurate?
It's going to be pretty close to that, Chris. Mm-hmm. And there again, I think it's because of the higher number of maybe what we call working poor, you know, families and individuals that, you know, either one or two people in the family are working, but they're struggling to make a livable wage. You know, you can't work your way out of poverty, I heard once said, and it was a statement when I heard it, it really kind of stopped me dead in my tracks, and I thought, well, that's ridiculous. But you really think about it, if an individual doesn't have the education or a skill and is kind of really relegated to trying to work those minimum wage jobs, you can work two minimum wage jobs and still not be making enough to keep yourself and your family out of poverty. And so I think we have a fair amount of folks that are in that scenario where they're trying to get by on a less than a livable wage, and it really causes them great challenges.
Let's move into federal assistance for Feeding South Dakota now. You directly in your funding sources. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, Chris, you know, I think it's important to know that, you know, Feeding South Dakota is a private organization, so the vast majority of our funding is private. We do, however, I do say that we do have a public-private partnership, and that you know, the public piece of that is the work that we do with the state of South Dakota to help administer two commodity programs. One of those is called TFAP, which stands for the Emergency Food Assistance Program, which is a program in which the state is giving access to dollars through USDA to purchase commodities that are then used to be distributed out to emergency feed programs like pantries, soup kitchens, and shelters. So because we already connect with over 500 you know, nonprofit charities, partner agencies across the state of South Dakota, we're kind of a natural fit with the state to be a distributor for those products, because we're already partnering with virtually all of those pantries, soup kitchens, and shelters across the state to help provide, and then we can provide those commodities through our distribution model. The second one is called the Commodity Supplemental Food Program, and it's simply, we refer to it as the Senior Box Program, because it's a program where we provide a supplemental box of food to low-income eligible seniors every month. So if a senior is over the age of 60 and living at or below 130% of poverty, they qualify to receive this box of food every month. And it's really designed not to be everything that they need, but really to help supplement their diet to, in our hopes, I think, to keep them healthier longer so they can live independently and healthier much longer. And so in South Dakota statewide, there's about 4,000 of those boxes being distributed every month. Feeding South Dakota happens to do about 2,700 or 2,800 of them. And so the private part, the public part of that support that we get is really in the form of those actual commodities and a small amount of admin dollars that we receive for storing and distributing that product.
Here we sit on, I believe, day 26 of a federal government shutdown. I believe it's the longest in United States history. What impact will that have on the families? Has it have an impact already here in South Dakota?
Well, yeah, it's starting to, Chris. I mean, I think we all know, if we listen to the news at all, that the federal employees who have been furloughed and aren't receiving paychecks, that is kind of what I call the first wave that we'll see. And we have actually seen a few federal employees that have stopped into our food pantry looking for assistance. I think the second wave comes when SNAP benefits run out. SNAP benefits for the month of January were distributed on the 10th of this month, and as part of this shutdown, they're pushing out the February SNAP benefits on the 20th of January. And they're going to get them out no later than the 20th of January. So we have individuals that receive January and February's SNAP benefits all within a 10-day period. But the important thing is understanding that, they have to make those benefits last essentially from now until the end of February, and I think that'll be a challenge. And then really the third wave of that, from our standpoint, Chris, is going to be when those commodity programs, the TFAP and CSFP commodities are no longer being provided, which indications are there's product available through the month of February, and after that we'll have to be in a wait and see mode whether we'll get access to those commodities.
Are you seeing anybody, witnessing anybody hitting that red panic button yet, or not quite?
Other than us, no. No, really, and I say that somewhat tongue in cheek, but really the reality is we look at this. If this continues on. Beyond the month of February, it will be an incredible challenge not only for us as a hunger relief organization here in South Dakota, but across our entire nation. When you have literally millions of individuals that will be without those SNAP benefits to be able to purchase food, it's going to put a strain on the charitable food distribution system like this country has never seen before.
What steps is your organization, Feeding South Dakota, taking to prepare for this, as there appears to be no end in sight?
Right. It's really a first phase for us is planning. We know kind of where we stand from, the distribution of those benefits. We know when they're stopping potentially. It's really concentrating all our effort right now on building a plan that we can start executing as early as the end of January, anticipating that traditionally when SNAP benefits come out on the 10th of a month, about 14 to 20 days later, we start seeing an increase in the number of people visiting our pantries, meaning that those SNAP benefits have been used up and they're looking for that food assistance to help get them through till the next set of benefits are released. So with that number in mind, we look at the first real wave to potentially start hitting us by early to mid-February. And then beyond that, it'll be an everyday battle, I think, especially as we get into March, if there are no March SNAP benefits and beyond. I mean, every day will be a challenge to meet the hunger needs of individuals and families in our state.
Our guest today is Matt Gasson. He's CEO of Feeding South Dakota. In the final minutes we have left, Mr. Gasson, what can the community do to assist?
Well, it's really going to be a need to provide us with as much many food donations and fund donations as the community can provide to going to meet this need. The donated food sources. We're going to be, although we're part of the Feeding America Network in sourcing food from across the nation, there's 200 food banks in the nation, in the network, and everybody's going to be searching for food. So, the charitable food donations are going to become really, really tight. We're going to have to rely a little bit more on purchasing some products to try to help fill that gap. And so it's going to be a combination of both the food and funds that are going to be needed to meet this need.
It certainly is a tough time. In the final minute that we now have, what do you want South Dakotans to know that we haven't talked about Feeding South Dakota?
That we truly don't exist if it's not for the generosity of individuals and businesses and corporations in the state of South Dakota who believe in us and our mission. And it's really an organization that belongs to the state of South Dakota, and we're just grateful that we're able to be here to try to meet some of those needs of our citizens.